This is a reading of The Guardian of the Threshold, the third mystery drama by Rudolf Steiner. This is a reading of the persons, spiritual figures, and happenings, and also the synopsis of this. The occurrences of a spiritual and soul character, which are sketched in the successive scenes of The Guardian of the Threshold, represent a continuation of those shown in my previously published Portal of Initiation and Soul's Probation. Together they form a whole. In The Guardian of the Threshold, the following characters and entities appear. Number 1, the bearers of the spiritual element. A. Benedictus, leader of the Sun Temple, and teacher of a number of people who appear in The Guardian of the Threshold. The Temple of the Sun is named only in the Portal of Initiation and the Soul's Probation. B. Hilary Gottgetroy, the Grand Master of a Mystic Brotherhood. He was shown in an earlier incarnation in the Soul's Probation as the Grand Master of a Spirit Brotherhood. C. Johannes Thomasius, pupil of Benedictus. Number 2, the bearers of the element of consecration, devotion, sacrifice. A. Magnus Bellicosus, called German in the Portal of Initiation, the preceptor of the Mystic Brotherhood. B. Albert Torquatus, called Theodosius in the Portal of Initiation, master of ceremonies of the Mystic Brotherhood. 6. Professor Capacius. Number 3. The bearers of the element of will. A. Frederick Trautmann, called Romanus in the Portal of Initiation, master of ceremonies of the Mystic Brotherhood, reincarnation of the second master of ceremonies of the Spirit Brotherhood in the Soul's Probation. B. Theodora, a seeress. In her, the will element is metamorphosed into naive seership. C. Dr. Strader. 4. The bearers of the element of soul. A. Maria, pupil of Benedictus. B. Felix Balda. C. Felicia Balda. Entities from the spiritual world. Lucifer, Ahriman. Entities of the human spiritual element. The double of Thomasius. The soul of Theodora, the guardian of the threshold. Philea, Astrid, Luna, the spiritual entities who further the uniting of the human soul with the cosmos. The other Philea, the spiritual entity who hinders the uniting of the soul powers with the cosmos. The voice of conscience. These spiritual entities are not meant allegorically or symbolically, but as realities, which for spiritual perception are the equivalent of physical persons. 1. Ferdinand Reinecke, Fox. 2. Michael Edelman, Nobleman. 3. Bernard Redlich, Upright. 4. Francesca Demuth, Humble. 5. Maria Treufels, Loyal. 6. Louis Fürchtegott, God-fearing. 7. Friedrich Geist, Inspirited. 8. Kaspar Stürmer, Firebrand. 9. George Warmund, Truthful. 10. Marie Kühne, Bold. 11. Hermine Hauser, Provincial. 12. Katharina Ratzam, Prudent. These are reincarnations of the 12 peasant men and women of the Soul's Probation. Editor's note, the names of the 12, although they are not used on stage, give a hint as to their character. Therefore, an English translation has been added. The events of The Guardian of the Threshold take place about 13 years after those of the Portal of Initiation. The manner of repeating earth lives, as encountered in The Guardian of the Threshold, must not be taken as a universally valid law, but rather as something that can happen at a special turning point of time. What happens, for example, in the eighth scene between Strader and the 12 people is only possible at such a point of time. The spiritual entities that appear in The Guardian of the Threshold are never thought of allegorically or symbolically. He who knows a spiritual world as something real may well represent the beings who are as valid for him there as are physical human beings in the sense world, in the same way as he shows the latter. Whoever holds these beings to be allegories or symbols misunderstands the whole way of presenting the happenings in the Guardian of the Threshold. The spiritual entities do not have human countenances, as they must have in the stage presentation, is of course obvious. If the author of these scenes depicting soul happenings held these entities to be allegories, he would not represent them in the way he does. The arranging of the characters in groups 3x4 was not striven for, nor does it underlie the presentation. It arises subsequently for one's thinking out of the events which were conceived quite for themselves, and which of their own accord shape such a grouping. To have had them as a basis is something that would never have occurred to the author. To present them here as a result is permissible. Synopsis. Scene 1. A group of 12 persons, representing the general public, has been invited by a mystic or occult brotherhood. What up to now has been cultivated, behind closed doors, traditional mystery wisdom, seeks a contact for the first time with the outside world. The brotherhood is motivated to this step by the publication of certain books on spiritual science, which reveal basic truths in modern thought form. The author is Thomasius, whom the brotherhood wants to honor because of his clearly demonstrated attachment to a spirituality which has its roots in the Rosicrucianism of the brotherhood itself. They offer to sponsor his work. Scene 2. Thomasius refuses this offer. In reality, what he has written will be utilized by Ahriman, because Thomasius himself is not able to exert full control over his lower self. His own unbalanced nature will influence the destiny of his writings. He describes an actual encounter with Ahriman on his way to this meeting. There is a sketch by Rudolf Steiner among the preparatory notes to the Guardian of the Threshold, which contains a speech by Ahriman directed to Thomasius at their encounter. Although discarded in the final script, it throws light on the words of Thomasius in Scene 2. Ahriman, these wheels of fire I roll and roll endlessly up the precipice in the everlasting course of human life. I feel within me how human souls exult in joy when I lift mountainward the fiery element. In me re-echoes the triumphant, loud rejoicing of human spirits who, advancing, feel themselves led from step to step. And yet, however often I've believed the start and finish of the work complete, it always came to nothing more than the beginning of a new toil. Uncertainty thus tortures me, whether the goal will ever be in reach. And only one thing do I know for sure. My aim will be achieved when this titanic work, my undertaking, ignites within one single human soul a little spark which can flare up to steady flame. Although gigantic is my work, it needs this one small spark to reach its final goal. Till now there have been several souls resolved, but fear soon quenched their spark of life, fear of those worlds which hold me fettered fast. Scene 3. Maria unexpectedly meets Capasius in Lucifer's realm. Both are outside their physical bodies, surrounded by the alluring picture world of Luciferic astrality. Capasius's soul is a captive of this world, reveling in it to such a degree that he does not welcome Maria's attempt to arouse in him an awareness of his ego's duties within the physical body. But her words will have their effect when Capasius comes to a new awakening in the etheric world, in Scene 6. Maria's soul had entered Lucifer's realm for the sake of Thomasius. She witnesses the initiative which Lucifer has taken in order to bind Thomasius to himself. He uses Thomasius's double to inflame a passion for Theodora. It is an illusionary but magical effort of intervention. To this, Maria, with the encouragement of Benedictus, reacts with words that carry in themselves, through their selfless energy, the final defeat of Lucifer. Scene 4. A quiet, harmonious conversation takes place between Strader and Theodora on the occasion of their 7th wedding anniversary. The scene ends, however, on a note of doubt and shock. Lucifer's machinations have begun their work. Scene 5. After Theodora's unexpected death, Strader takes comfort at the home of Felicia and Felix Balder. Capasius is also a visitor, but in a disturbed state of mind. After the retrospect into his former life in medieval times, he has lost interest in the present time and place. His mind is absent, dwelling in realms removed from his normal consciousness. From time to time it breaks through and brings messages from these other worlds to his friends. In this scene it is Theodora's soul actually appearing for a moment, with which he is in direct communication, to the bewilderment, but also for the benefit of Strata. The following three scenes take place in the supersensible worlds. Scene 6. Capasius's soul finds itself carried into the etheric world by mantric words received in earlier times from Benedictus and now sounding to him. Benedictus himself intones them, leading Capasius to a situation where his own soul forces reveal these mantric words as thought beings outside himself. In a dramatic confrontation, Lucifer and Ahriman re-echo the mantric words in sound and movement. Finally, the fairy tale of the child of light, imagination, gives Capasius the inner strength and courage to bring back his ego consciousness into his earthly body. Scene 7. Timasius, accompanied by Maria, appears before the guardian of the threshold. He has the vision of a life in pre-Christian times, and still under the spell of Lucifer, interprets it as relating to Theodora. Because Maria vouches for him, the guardian lets them both pass through into the spiritual world, which reveals itself at first as the icy fields under Ahriman's rule, the realm of death as shown in the next scene. Scene 8. Ahriman, in his own domain, is not recognized by Hilary, although his companion, Trautmann Romanus, has a frightening reaction to the cold darkness surrounding them. Strada enters, fully aware of Ahriman, and is a witness to his power over the 12 souls who in their sleep come under his spell. He recognizes in Ahriman the ruler over those forces which on earth are at work in the laws of measure and number. The scene ends with Timasius's initial experience beyond the actual threshold, a renewed encounter with his double, and his release from Lucifer's magic spell. Scene 9. After the highly dramatic events of the preceding scenes, the conversations that follow, in a pleasant landscape, breathe harmonious tranquility. At an earlier morning hour, Benedictus meets his friends Capasius and Strader, who have become his pupils. Timasius recalls to Maria his shattering experience in Ahriman's realm. She confirms the vital step he has made by crossing the threshold. What is so striking in this scene is the fact that these conversations take place while the various groups are walking in the country, not far from a large city whose outlines are visible on the horizon. Rudolf Steiner has described a similar scene at the time when the mystery center of Ephesus was flourishing. Priests and neophytes conversed while walking along paths branching out from the temple. Scene 10. The sanctuary of the Rosicrucian Brotherhood is a symbolic temple with three altars. Only Benedictus's presence establishes the link to the supersensible Sun Temple, which concluded the first and second plays. The duties at the altars in east, south, and west are now taken over by free individuals, who, under the guidance of Benedictus, have achieved direct insight into the world beyond the threshold. Felix and Felicia Balda join them, although their paths were somewhat different, leading from mysticism in one and imaginative knowledge in the other, to the same recognition of the demands of this modern age. In this scene, Maria and Benedictus speak out the name of Christ three times, first in the Paulinian sense of not I but Christ in me, secondly as with us now, and thirdly as the dissolver of karmic blood ties. The soul forces close the play with words of grace, in which the audience as well can feel included. Luna, I will implore from primal powers courage and strength, and let them help self-sacrifice to grow, so that what is perceived as temporal can be transformed to seeds of spirit for all eternity. The end of the synopsis.